The topic of building has come to mind lately, not just because the administration is still looking into building an additional facility, as was sent out in the member letter, but I have been thinking more and more about just the building process as we, who knows how close we are, before the return of Jesus Christ, and are we at the finishing touches and in the time that we have for ourselves and building holy, righteous character? How much time do we have left? We don't know, as was brought out in the sermonette, but we are to work and we are to build while we still have daylight, and while we still have time to work. In reviewing what it takes to build a good spiritual house, there is something that we all must have if we are to build correctly. The same is what everyone is needed in the building process. When God told Noah to build the ark, what did he tell him? Well, I just want you to build an ark. Now, have at it. He gave him a very specific, detailed plan, you might say a blueprint, on what to go by. Through the prophet Moses, God commanded the children of Israel to build a tabernacle. It would be a sanctuary where he could dwell among his people. And with that, he just kind of left it up to them, didn't he? Well, whatever you think is good is fine. Well, no, there were very detailed provisions, detailed instructions, detailed blueprint for building the tabernacle. What about King David? He also had a detailed set of blueprints, if you will, that he shared with Solomon. God, through the Holy Spirit, gave him those details. And then also, we won't turn here, but Josiah, we think about what he did. Here he was king at age 8, and then, 8 years of reigning, he started making some major provisions, taking down the high places, removing the idols, the idol worship, the carved images of Baal. And he cleaned up the place. And then he wanted to rebuild. But in describing how he came about and how he started that building process, it said that he assigned foremen of overseers for overseeing it, to have foresight. And then the Levites were also there as a part of that, being the overseers, making sure that vision came about and that the blueprints came about. For any building or rebuilding, there must be vision. There must be blueprints. There must be specific instructions for building and how to build. Spiritually, there's no difference. We have to have a set of blueprints for building holy, righteous character. What is a blueprint? Just a physical blueprint. The details, according to masterclass.com, it says a blueprint, and most everyone knows this, I'm sure, but how it describes it I thought was good because it's something that we want to think about when we think about vision. But a blueprint is a two-dimensional set of drawings that provides a detailed visual representation of how an architect wants a building to look. So you have the master architect, and it's that foresight, it's that vision of how they want it to come about, the plan. Blueprints typically specify the building's dimensions, construction materials, and the exact placement of all its components. A blueprint involves visualization of what you were trying to build. I did take a general drafting class, and then typically you go on to do the computer-aided drafting, and you get into some of the blueprints and details there. I did enjoy the drafting class too, but he said, our teacher said, I will never give a 100% out. There is always going to be some little flaw that you have. And when you wrote your name on the very bottom and you had your T-square and all the details, for doing it, every letter had to be just perfect, in the way that. He gave out a couple 99s. I don't think there was anybody that had 100, but you were really trying to make it as precise as you could. Spiritually, God is the master architect. He has a plan for all of mankind, and he provides a blueprint for building holy, righteous character with faith. And as I was looking into vision, this is kind of how the sermon started to develop in vision. And vision is so much tied to faith. Really, this it changed directions a little bit. And so what I would like to look at are three specific details for building with faith. So most physical blueprints are two-dimensional sets of drawings. Today, let's look at three-dimensional set of blueprints for building with faith. And it is, again, very much tied to vision and as we continue to press forward towards the kingdom of God. So if you want a title, it is Blueprints for Building with Faith. Blueprints for Building with Faith. And first, we'll spend a little more time with, but a very specific detail within the blueprint for building with faith is hope and a positive outlook. Hope and a positive outlook. Normally, when we start any project, there is hope in that project. You even if it's a shed in your backyard, the details for building that, there's excitement because you know, hey, I'm going to have a place to store my lawnmower. I'm going to be able to clean some of the clutter up. I'm going to be able to take care of this and that. So there is excitement even in the blueprints. You don't see the finished product. You don't see the finished shed, but you visualize what it will be, what it will become, and how you will be able to utilize that space. There is hope for you and I spiritually. God has started, as the master architect, he started building holy, righteous character with each one of us. And while we aren't finished, and he's not finished working with us, we're part of his workmanship, and there are details that he's still working out so that we can produce a fruit that he is pleased with, so that we can glorify him in our actions and in our thoughts and in our mind. But we must have hope in the blueprint that God has, not only for mankind, but with what he has started with us. As we go through various trials and tests, it's easy to sometimes be discouraged, but we must remember that God loves whom he chastens, and you know he is working out something with each one of us, and he is trying to build in us holy, righteous character. And in the end, it will be wonderful. But hope and a positive mindset in the promises of God is a major key for the blueprint of faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 1, we'll periodically turn back to Hebrews 11. If you want to put a tab there. But we'll start with the definition of faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So it's the things that we are hoping for, looking for. We know it's going to come about, and we hope for that. That building may not be right there in front of us, but we hope for that. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The master architect, is the one who formed or framed the world by his word. And so we have a master architect who is the start of that process that gives us hope and in his promises. But by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which are visible. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. It's a forward thinking. It's a thinking and a positive thinking for what is to come, as was also brought out in the sermonette. The things hoped for. There's a wonderful future ahead. We don't see all of the details that are right there in front of us today, but we yearn for that coming kingdom. We yearn for the joy and the peace that will come. We see the turmoil and the war and the suffering that's in this world today, and the inability to have peace, the inability to have joy, because they're on a different set of blueprints, that they don't understand how to bring about peace. We don't see the end result today, but we hope for that. And we must, as we try to build with faith, if we want our faith to be strong, we must meditate and think on those good things to come. yearn for those things, hope in those things, cling to the promises that are to come. We'll drop back to chapter 10 in verse 19 as we think about what we are to hold fast to and how hope is a part of that. So we think we're gripping that blueprint that God has, the plan for mankind. We're gripping it firmly, and that is where we have our hope. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest of the blood of Jesus, we, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us, through the veil, that is, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. We come before God thankful because he has pulled us away from the sin and the evil of this world, and that we have repented, and that we have been set on a different pathway where he has provided that blueprint for us for what is to come, the plan, the understanding. Without him opening up our minds for us, we would not understand what it truly means for him to be our high priest. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So that hope that we have, we are to cling to and hold fast to without wavering, knowing that he will bring about his promises. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, that and so much the more as you see the day approaching. As we draw closer to the return of Jesus Christ, it will be even more necessary to be together, to fellowship with one another, to stir up love and good works with one another as the day is approaching. It is a part of faithful actions. It is a commanded assembly. Now, there are some that are not able to attend because of health reasons, and we can visit those through the week. But if we have the ability to be here, we should be here at a commanded assembly. It is a part of a faithful actions and what we are to be a part of. And it's a part of our confession, too, of our hope. Every week, and we're here, it's a part of confessing. We share in that same hope of what is to come, and that hope and the glory that God is working with us individually, and that hope that will come for all of mankind. So God has started the building process with each one of us, and we hope in the completion of his plan, the finished product of what he is building. This is the confession of our hope, too, knowing that what God has promised, that he will be faithful to. As we set out to build, we must share in hope, in that hope that the master architect has, that blueprint that he has helped us to understand and see. There is wonderful joy to come. For those that God has called today, he has shared that blueprint with them, with us, with the understanding of what can bring about peace and happiness, and how yielding to his way of life can produce that now and for eternity. So we share in that same hope, we share in that same confession of hope, trusting in what God is doing. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. It is by God's goodness that he led us to repentance, and we had to respond in faith. We had to repent and turn from the ways of the world and embrace a different life, a life that God has called us to be slaves of righteousness. But not of works, lest anyone should boast. So, you know, the original part of that calling and pulling one from the sheepfold, if you will, it wasn't because we just figured it out. You know, it's not by our own might that we figured it out. He opened our minds. He opened your mind. And that's a miracle in that. And we recognize that we're a part of his workmanship, his building process. For we are his workmanship, verse 10, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the process. So a little from the promise, a little more detailed explanation and how we were. Really, it was like we were strangers in a foreign land. And we did not recognize that. He pulled us out of that, though, and he made us a part of Israel, so to speak, spiritual Jews. But having no hope and without God in the world. So prior to that point, we were lacking hope. We were lacking in the blueprint. We didn't have that blueprint and that understanding of what is going to come about. But he pulled us out of the world, and he has given us that hope. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. It was by God's goodness and his mercy that he led us to repentance. We were like strangers in a foreign land without hope, but yet we have hope today. We have hope in what is to come, in a world tomorrow, in a world where there will be no more war and strife. Those details that we read about, that we cling to. And it is the Word of God that gives us that hope, too. We study God's Word, and it's primarily to give us that encouragement and hope. Instruction, correction, too, to help us stay on that path in the building process. We see the ways of the world today, and we see a different blueprint that is at work. There is war, there is strife, there is misery. But God is teaching us how to have joy and peace. It's a totally separate blueprint, and that's the only way we will have peace and joy. Turned here last week, but let's go ahead and turn here again. James 4 and verse 1. A little different focus as we read this set of scriptures. James 4 and verse 1, because we see a different blueprint, a different plan, a different mindset, and the results, and what we are not to be a part of. James 4 and verse 1, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have, you murder and covet and do not obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. You know, there's nothing wrong with asking God for our desires and for the desires of our heart. Covetousness comes in when we take upon ourselves to, we're going to have this at whatever cost. We're going, whether it mean go into great amounts of debt, because we have to have it, and we won't be happy unless we do have it. There's a different mindset, and it is covetousness and adulteries that bring about war and strife and fights. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? There is a totally different blueprint that is out there that the world is yielding to, and we cannot make that our blueprint for moving forward. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scriptures say in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. In the world, there is a different vision. There is a different blueprint. And we're seeing the effects of it today. Covetousness, self-centeredness, adultery, war, strife, envy. And there's a different plan that God has, which will bring about peace and unity. And it takes a humble desire to get on our knees and to ask God for the help. Again, it isn't covetous to go to God and lay out the details for what we need, what we yearn for. We each have a choice in this life for what blueprint we will build with. And the building blocks that we're using today, they are building blocks that are eternal building blocks, as it is holy, righteous character. So we think about our life, we think about what we're building with today, we think about the details of our life, the inner workings of what we are doing today, and it's not in vain in what we do and our actions and with how we build, because it is holy, righteous character that we are trying to establish with the building process. But we must ask ourselves too, you know, what are we building with today? Are we building with peace? Are we building with joy and patience and kindness and faithfulness? Because what we do today will affect how we serve in the future. In the parable of the minas, the profitable servant, God says, well, you've been faithful over the very little. You can rule over 5 cities. So you rule over 10 cities. You know, what are we doing today with the responsibilities that we have? Are we faithful in the little things? You've been given the blueprints for building an incredible future, but that future even starts today. So how do you hope that your city will look in the future? Well, part of what we are able to take care of with our responsibilities today might point to that. Is it something that others would hope to be a part of? How do you hope your room looks like today? What you manage, what you take care of, your workspace. We could simplify it, with the physical, but there are some that have a very tidy home. That doesn't mean that they're just spiritual giants, but yet there still are the details of our life and what we can take care of as we strive to build with the right attributes. We can apply this physically and spiritually, because what is it that we're building today? Is it something that others would hope for? And to be in your city, make it personal with what you're doing today and how that translates to the world tomorrow. I have a couple of slides I'd like to think about, and we can apply this physically, but also think about it in a spiritual way too, as we think about purity and cleanliness. But how about your room? Okay, is this what your abode looks like? Is this what the building process looks like? Now, I do understand that you could have a building project where you're remodeling one room and the other room is trashed, and there's a time for everything, I guess, but then you clean it up. But I'm talking about consistent aspects of life. If it's a cluttered mind all the time with everything coming out, we can be, our vision can be really affected by the vision of this world. And so we think, do we have a clear mindset of that hope that is to come, of that joy that is to come? We talk about meditating on things that are uplifting and pure, things that are just and pure and lovely and virtuous and praiseworthy. It's good for our mind. We want a decluttered mind. We want that forward thinking of what is to come. We want that hope. And God wants us to build with that today in our own house. And so if this is our room today, what will it look like tomorrow? What would your city look like in the future? Is that what you envision your city looking like in the future? I'd say no. If you're given opportunity to rule, and God would not allow that, it will be nice. It will be joyful. But we think about the principles that we have today. What we have today, what we take care of today, our personal space, and this goes for the youth, is you have an opportunity to rule over something. That's your own room. That's your own space, to help. And think about what it will be tomorrow. What you're building today translates to what we're hoping to build tomorrow. Because we're not just talking about a clean room. We're talking about character. Now, take a different room. I know everybody's house looks just like that, right? Okay, that's probably a multi-million dollar home. It's got the mountains in the background. But I'm just talking about it from a cleanliness standpoint. If this is the way our mind feels, if this is the way our house feels, our rooms feel, what we do, how we take care of things, as we strive, you know, it's not chaos. Well, maybe that can translate in a future city ahead. You know, we think about what we are ruling with today, it will affect tomorrow. You know, character is lasting. And that's why I'm making this as a physical example, but you get the point, because it's also a spiritual principle. You know, our mind needs to be pure. It doesn't need to be cluttered with the filth and with the, really the influence of the world. God doesn't dwell in chaos. God doesn't dwell in strife and in war. God intervenes in war to bring about peace and joy. Right now, Jerusalem is in chaos. Israel is in chaos. And the solution will only be according to God's blueprint. We hope in that to come. And when I think about, you know, a positive way of thinking, a positive outlook, a hope for what is to come, this does drive our faith. A blueprint for faith, hope for what is to come. The hope in what is to come and how it affects our life today is a part of that faith that we are building even today. But, you know, what is happening in Israel, God will allow it to happen, but he's not for chaos. He's not for war. He is for peace. Throughout Jerusalem's history, they've been subject to assault from foreign enemies. The Babylonians destroyed their walls. The Romans would do the same. And after a history of attacks as being the norm, in the future it will change. And God will establish that as a place of peace and joy in Zion. Isaiah 60 in verse 1. Isaiah 60 in verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, the kings of to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. And then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land. Dropping down to verse 13, it says, the glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the cypress, the pine, and the box tree together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. And I will make the place of my feet glorious. Also the sons of those who afflicted you shall come bowing to you, and all those who despised you shall fall prostrate to the soles of your feet. And they shall call you the city of the Lord, Zion, the Holy One of Israel. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated, so that no one went through you, I will make you an eternal excellence, a joy of many generations. So we see even the details and the plan that God has, the blueprints that God has for Jerusalem, for Zion. It will come about, and we look forward to that peace and joy to come. The glory of Zion, as it is described, even almost reflects God himself. It's a part of his glory. So he's got an incredible plan for Jerusalem and that area, but that's not the way it is today. But as we think about how we desire for it to be in the future, in the kingdom to come, it also must be a part of our mind today. It just doesn't happen. We must purposefully meditate on those things that are to come. Focus on his plan of peace and joy. We must be positive thinkers. That is a part of a blueprint for faith. You know, a beautiful picture, it doesn't just happen. Now, you might think Picasso is a beautiful, creates beautiful pictures, and maybe that does just happen with him. But I'm talking about, let's say, a beautiful landscape picture. It doesn't just happen. You know, there are details within that where you know you want the mountain here, you want the tree there, you want the river going. And I really enjoyed watching Bob Ross growing up. And he makes it seem like he just randomly putting stuff at different places. I'm just going to put a happy little tree here, oh, and here, and we'll just, let's see, what do we do? We'll just, you know, but don't let him fool you. He knows exactly what he wants with that picture. He knows exactly where that tree is going to be, what the background is going to be, and, I mean, even the details where he's mixing the paint. That is unbelievable because he just makes it seem like he's just squirting paint on that deal. It's a little burnt sienna here and then a little white. Oh, no, we need a little more white. He knows exactly what color he's going for and how he wants to paint that old barn. There's a vision there, and it doesn't just happen. A beautiful picture doesn't just happen. And so it's the details. We, too, must think about the details for how that will come about and how God's plan will lead to joy and peace. Part of that is a peaceful way of thinking. We are ambassadors for Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we represent a future kingdom to come that is full of joy, peace, unity, happiness, patience, and faithfulness. We can't be of the same mindset of this world and still have that right way of thinking. It is two different competing visions, and the vision of this world is the things that are around us. The physical is probably the largest part of the competing vision of the kingdom to come. But as we strive to implement God's way of life in our own families, wherever it may be, at work, we must apply God's word and how the details are to instruct us with how to have peace. But we are to think about that future to come. One more scripture here, and we'll move on to the last two points, and the last two will go pretty quickly. Psalm 16 and verse 1. So probably we'll end a little short today. Hopefully we'll get a little extra time to fellowship, and then we'll go on to Wichita. But Psalm 16 and verse 1, and the title in my Bible, it says, "The hope of the faithful and the Messiah's victory." The hope of the faithful and the Messiah's victory. This is a psalm that we can go to that might speak to our hearts. You know, a lot of times if there's stress, if there's anxiety, the psalms do speak to the heart. And it is a book that we can go to and be uplifted and encouraged. Verse 1 of chapter 16, it says, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, 'You are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you.' As for the saints who are on the earth, they are excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips." So it is a refraining from one way of life, but an embracing of another one, an acknowledgement of God's plan. "O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup." You know, the forward way of thinking, dwelling on the positive to come. "You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope." So to have peace of mind, and there's various other scriptures that talk about that and that way of thinking, what we dwell on. But there is a rest in the hope that is to come and a peace of mind. When our thoughts are on the hope that God provides, we will have rest and gladness and peace of mind. This is a part of building with faith, and the hope of the faithful is a part of the blueprint for faith. Another part of our blueprint for building with faith is to build with urgency. This will fit in very nicely with the sermonette. Building with urgency and being attentive to God's divine warnings. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. Hebrews 11 and verse 7, we see Noah, and he had a different building project with the ark, but there was something that was motivating him to faithfully build, the ark. Hebrews 11 and verse 7 says, "By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." What was driving his actions, his faithful actions, was a divine warning from God, and it was also godly fear of what God said would come about. Knowing that what God said is true, and he believed him, and so it helped him to work with urgency. Matthew 24 and verse 37. We look at the world around us, we look at the times that we're in, and we think, how much time do we have left? Should we ever put our guard down? It's probably not going to happen. Look what happened before. This has happened all the time. War in Jerusalem, war with Israel. This is something, and it has. There's been a lot of war with Israel. Will this lead to something more? Will this lead to other details to come about and other prophetic details to come to fruition? We don't know. But we should always be watchful of those things. Matthew 24 and verse 37, as I did not turn there. Matthew 24 and verse 37. Excuse me, starting in verse 36. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So, you know, we don't know. But we look at the seasons, we look at the times we're in, we look at the attitudes of the world and the attitudes that are prevalent and the mindset that's there. And so we think, how much time? But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. You know, it's how many are interested in relationships and tabloids and Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift and that can flood the news to where we think, oh, there's a war going on. You know, we're just more worried about who's dating who and that life is just going to go on. How much time do we have left? We don't know, but we watch, and we are watchful to the barometer of the attitude that also mimics what it was in the days of Noah. Every thought was evil continually. I was listening to a sports radio show in the morning. Sometimes they'll come on, give me the updates for the Kansas City Chiefs. But the broadcaster, he started talking about different movies. These are movies that your kids need to watch. And he started listening. They were all rated R, and they were horrible movies. I didn't see them, but you just know, even by the titles, they're not good. But every kid should watch it, he said. You know, and you think, there's nothing protected in the minds of children, because if the adults are promoting it and they want their children to listen to it. But that's kind of the world we live in. But the guarding of the heart and the mind, it seems like it's not quite as prevalent as maybe it was even when I was growing up. But it was still there at that time too. But it will be like the days of Noah. Every thought will be evil continually. There was a lot of violence at that time. Now, violence is so prevalent in the news, it's hard to watch because of the violence that is even on, that is displayed with the videos that are being captured, that are played on the news, or even the commercials where you just can't watch the commercials because of the violence that's being pushed with the horror movies. But they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. So there won't be that urgency or that awareness for most. But he's given you a blueprint of what is to come. He's given you an understanding of what is to come. A godly or a divine warning, if you will, like he gave Noah. A divine warning for what is to come. And so we are to move with godly fear in what we are building until that time is. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. So as we build what we are asked to build, we must build with urgency and with godly fear. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. So the first point was about hope and thinking about how that ties in with faith. And it's a positive outlook. You know, what is driving our faith is knowing the good things to come. But the other aspect is that also drives our faith and how we respond is knowing that there is judgment to come. We know that it's not going to go on indefinitely, that time isn't indefinite. And so how we respond to that is how we respond to that is up to the choices that we make and with the urgency that we have. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, as it lists some of the details of what it will be like at the end times. And are these attitudes that we recognize that are prevalent even today. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. As you go through the details that are there, I'm sure there's different examples that you could think of, just interactions in the workplace or wherever it may be, interactions maybe even at the grocery store. I'm sure there's things that come to mind where we see these attitudes that are prevalent. And so we are attentive to the warnings that we have, God's divine warnings. We are to build in an urgent way. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly or carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We must redeem the time. We must build with urgency. We must draw close to God. If we're putting off Bible study, if we're putting off prayer, or if we're putting off fasting, now's not the time to do that. Now's the time to have more of an urgent approach and make sure that we are drawing close to God and redeeming the time. Noah redeemed the time and built the ark. He heeded God's divine warnings, and his family was protected, and their lives were spared. We must build with urgency. This is a divine warning from God, and this should affect our outlook and vision as we are to be watchful. It's a part of our vision. This is a part of the blueprint for building with faith. We believe in what God tells us. Last point, part of the blueprint, and not an all-inclusive blueprint, set of blueprint, lots of details. that are tied with faith, but we must follow the instructions given to us by the master architect. Where we get in trouble is where we deviate from the master architect's instructions. In Proverbs 19 and verse 18, King James Version, 29 and verse 18, King James Version, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." You know, the blueprint that God gives us is his Ten Commandments. It's a part of it. It's a part of the details, the nitty-gritty parts of the detail of the blueprint that we must live by, and it's a part of a living faith. Keeping the law is keeping with the right vision, the right blueprint, and it's the instructions given to us by the master architect. Our actions demonstrate the vision that we have or don't have. Our actions show if we're using the right blueprint. Tithing is one of those principles. It's one of those things where, well, we may not see the finished product or the end result, or we know what God tells us to do, and it's one of those faithful things. It's not blind faith because we have the details that are written for us, but it's one of those things where sometimes we think, how is this going to work? I don't know how this is going to work, but yet it does. You do it, and then you see how God blesses. You see the building process is much better than what we could even anticipate ourselves. It's when we deviate from God's instructions that we get ourselves in trouble. Abraham, who is faithful, didn't always make the right decisions. Abraham and Sarah deviated from God's instructions, and they couldn't see how God was going to provide them a son. So they took it into their own hands. They got away from the blueprint that he provided. And that brought about a lot of consequences. The end result was jealousy, for one. And the end result was Hagar having to be, you know, put out into the wilderness, and then his son with them, sent away into the wilderness. A lot of stress and turmoil that was there because they deviated from the blueprint that God provided. If we do deviate from the blueprint that God has for us, not only will we build the wrong house, we could end up in a totally wrong place altogether. And we could drift to a point where we're in a totally wrong place. But Abraham, you know, that wasn't the end all, that decision. He was very faithful. And we have a positive example as well, where he did heed God's instructions. He did and was faithful to the instructions that were provided to him. Hebrews 11 and verse 8. Hebrews 11 and verse 8. "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going." He didn't see all. He didn't see the end result. But he had God's instructions. And that was what drove his faith. He believed in God's instructions. He believed in the blueprint that he had for him. And he followed those instructions. "By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." He obeyed God and he waited on God. But it was the obedience, knowing, okay, this is what he has told me to do. I'm going to do that. He didn't see the end result. But it was that obedience that helped to uphold the faith. It was faithful obedience. We all are pilgrims and sojourners, strangers in a foreign land, and we are waiting for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. In the meantime, we must diligently strive to obey the instructions of the master architect, master builder, and start building and make sure we are building with the building blocks that will last for eternity, faithfully obeying God and trusting in his plan. Drop down to verse 13 to conclude. Verse 13 of Hebrews 11. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland." a different homeland. It's a heavenly homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. If we desire a better country and share in the same vision as Almighty God, then the Master Architect will not be ashamed to be called our God, because he is preparing for us. For those who are faithful and for those who do not become a part of the world, there is a wonderful, wonderful place, a wonderful homeland that God is preparing for each one of us. That's a part of his blueprint. The ways of the world are all around us. It's a competing vision. It's a competing blueprint. If we conform, we will not be transformed. We are in the building process. We are in the transformation process, and not the conforming process. That means we are to continue to build properly, and if we are to continue to build properly, we must build with the blueprints that God has provided for us. The blueprints that include and are not limited to building with hope and a positive outlook, building with urgency and an attentiveness to God's divine warnings, and building with the instructions of the Master Architect. If we build with these three-dimensional and with this three-dimensional set of blueprints, not only will we be building with the right blueprints, but we will be building with faith.